my time to convince her that love's here to stay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Love is here to stay because she loves me.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show, second hour of the show. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tufts Free Farm Radio. Glad you can join us on this Monday afternoon, Martin Luther King Day, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Thank you for making this show part of your afternoon. Always appreciated. Lots of choices. Thanks for tuning in. So, a 4 o'clock hour, we're going to just do this now and get it over with. We're going to do the PSA and as well as the station identification here on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford.
You are listening to WMFO in Medford.
91.5 WMFO Medford.
Hey, this is Scruffy Wallace, the Dropkick Murphys, and you're listening to WMFO Medford.
Vicky, how you doing? How's the knee?
It's coming along, doctor, but still some soreness.
Well, let's see. You know, this soon after surgery, some pain is pretty normal.
I was hoping to get more painkillers. The first round worked great.
We're being very careful with those now. Prescription painkillers are opioids, same as heroin. It's easy to start taking them, not so easy to stop.
Last year in America, an average of 40 people died from opioid abuse every day. Long-term addiction has become America's newest health epidemic.
So no pills?
Vicky, you're doing great. So let's try these anti-inflammatories, plus your physical therapy. If the soreness doesn't continue to get better, give me a call.
For opioids, the smaller the dose prescribed and taken, the better. Because even a few prescription painkillers can sometimes go a long, wrong way. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and the Orthopedic Trauma Association. Visit orthoinfo.org/prescription safety.
The PSA and the station notification brought to you by yours truly at 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. So we're going to continue with the 4 o'clock hour of the show. We're here with you until 5 today. Again, those who just tuned in, I will be back on the air Wednesday afternoon from 12 p.m. to 3. So 3 hours on Wednesday, I'll be here with you as well. So stay tuned for that. I'll discuss furthermore at the end of the show. So Monday after Championship Sunday, anybody's come down from that emotional high of watching two great games yesterday? I haven't. In fact, I'm still thinking about it. But now it's time for me to really get it all off my chest. And without further ado, here we go. So, yesterday, you had Tennessee, Kansas City, Green Bay, San Fran. Two tremendous matchups. A 6 seed going into Arrowhead, red hot. And the second seeded Kansas City Chiefs, home to host the AFC title game, looking to return to the Super Bowl for the first time in 50 years. Now, my whole thing, and I actually picked Tennessee to win the game, because simply put, they had been really hot coming into the matchup yesterday. And one thing that I was really looking at, and that was Derrick Henry continuing to the steamroll opponents the way that he has, especially in the first two rounds of the playoffs against New England and Baltimore, respectively. But that didn't happen yesterday at all. If anything, yesterday was the first time that we seen Tennessee run game really, really get shut down. And you got to give credit where it's due because frankly, if we sit here and we talk about what Tennessee did in terms of running the ball and everything, one thing that does stand out is that Derrick Henry was held to 69 yards the whole game. 69. And that 69 yards came on 19 attempts. So he averaged about 3.6 yards per carry. And I tell you, it was essentially all you had to do was shut down Derrick Henry and you shut down this offense. Now, I will say that Tennessee did get off to a good start. They were up 10-0, and they were also up 17-7. But for the second straight week, we saw just how special Patrick Mahomes is, especially on that 27-yard touchdown run that really put them over the top. And a lot of what I'm about to say really is going to center around Patrick Mahomes, because we saw it last year, especially when you talk about his ability to bring teams back from deficits and so forth. Now, it started last year in the AFC title game against New England. You remember the Patriots got out to a pretty comfortable lead, but then Kansas City brought them back. I mean, Mahomes brought Kansas City back. And the one thing that I've noticed, especially in the last three playoff games, last year's AFC title game, last week's game against the Texans, down 24 points, and then playing from behind again yesterday, two 10-point deficits, Mahomes just didn't wilt. He didn't stumble. He didn't lose composure. His ability to play from behind in the postseason is actually quite remarkable. And he's done it in three straight playoff games now that he wished he's played in. And I give him credit. I give him a great deal of credit. His leadership ability is something truly to be marveled at. And you talk about the three receivers that did the most damage yesterday. You talk about Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins. And I got to tell you, when I reflect on yesterday's game, I think about the weapons in that offense that the Kansas City Chiefs have. And it's explosive. And we've seen it in back-to-back weeks now. But man, oh man, when you have a guy like Sammy Watkins and Tyreek Hill, who is arguably the fastest receiver in the league right now, dominating and taking over the passing game the way that they did, you're going to have an awful, awful, awful time trying to stop that. It's hard. And the thing that I ended up walking away from with that game was two things. Number one, when Mahomes plays his best, it's usually from behind when he's behind in the game. We've seen it in three games now. Three consecutive playoff games. That's one. Two, his skill set is just off the charts. His ability to escape the rush, to scramble out the pocket, roll to his right, roll to his left, and still make accurate, on-the-dime, effortless throws down the field to his receivers, whether if it's Watkins, Hills, Travis Kelce, Williams. It's amazing to watch. And keep in mind, his longest passing play yesterday was for 60 yards. And I couldn't believe, in watching him yesterday, I was just saying to myself, he's 24 years old. And what we're watching, whether you're a Chiefs fan or not, is the beginning of something very special with Mahomes. Regardless of what happens, it's Super Bowl 54 in 13 days. This is the start of something very special with Mahomes. And I'm excited just to even watch him play. And even as a Patriots fan, but this kid is showing you something that none of us has really ever seen on the football field in terms of what he's able to do. And also, the defense as well. The defense has got to be better. It's got to be better than what they were yesterday, but I do believe that defensively, they have really been much improved. And I give them a great deal of credit. And the one thing I will say is this. When we talk about what the Titans did and so forth, one thing that stood out to me was they didn't really dominate the time of possession the way they did the first two games. That was also a big reason as to why the Titans struggled. And it really was the first time that we saw the Titans play from behind. And I admit, they seemed a bit shook, so to speak. A bit rattled, for lack of a better word. And because of that, it really was simple as they really couldn't get the run game going. And that's really been the secret to their success. You shut down Henry. You make Tannehill throw. And dare I say, Tannehill was not that impressive yesterday. He wasn't. I mean, he was okay. He wasn't awful. I mean, yes, he was 21 for 31 for 209 yards, but wasn't he like I said, he was okay, but he wasn't great. So, Kansas City, congratulations. You waited 50 years for this moment. And I can only imagine the party that it must have been last night in Kansas City, if there was one. But I'm sure there was. 50 years, you waited to get back to the Super Bowl. As Nick Wright said this morning on Undisputed, enjoy it. Absolutely enjoy it. Now, on the NFC side of the ledger, hoo-hoo. Man, oh man. Did we really expect anything less from San Francisco? Honestly. Did we? I mean, there was a part of me that was hoping that Green Bay would win. But by the time the first quarter was done yesterday, it was 100% apparent that Green Bay offensively had no answers for the relentless pass rush of the San Francisco 49ers, led by Nick Bosa. And I gotta tell you, what I saw yesterday was just absolutely a relentless pass rush in which Armstead, Buckner, Day, and Bosa were absolutely terrifying. And then the secondary with Ward, Sherman, Mosley, they just, for the most part, they were able to shut down the Green Bay pass attack. And even though they are one weapon pony in terms of Davante Adams at the receiver position, it just wasn't enough. It really wasn't enough. And frankly, ultimately, it cost them in the end. Aaron Rodgers needed to be more aggressive. I felt like he was too safe. He was too safe in a sense of, well, maybe I should take a shot. And for those that watched the game yesterday, how many times did Aaron Rodgers even throw in the direction of Richard Sherman? Maybe a handful of times, if any at all? Exactly. So I wondered, why wasn't Aaron Rodgers more aggressive? Was it because there was only two guys on offense that he really trusted yesterday, in my opinion. And that was Aaron Jones and Davante Adams. That was it. But as for San Francisco offensively, there has been so much talk about Jimmy Garoppolo, and for the reasons that one would or even wouldn't think. And it was for the simple fact that, oh, by the way, Garoppolo only threw the ball 8 times. But San Francisco, they ran the ball how many times yesterday? 42 times. And here's the part. There's the number that really was staggering at the end of the game last night. 285 yards on the ground, running, led by Robert Mostert. And Mostert was an absolute beast. An absolute beast running the ball yesterday. In which that he had 29 carries for those 220 yards and averaging more than 7.6 yards per carry and 4 touchdowns on the ground. And it's interesting because Kyle Shanahan was asked after the game, why didn't you throw the ball more? And Shanahan said, because they couldn't stop the run. So we continue to stick with what was working, running the ball. So, and that was the correct answer. Why on earth change what's working just the pad stats? If a team can't stop the run, you keep running the ball. And that's exactly what they did. Green Bay could not stop the run, whether if it was Mostert, Samuel, or Coleman in the backfield. They couldn't. And it's funny because they're the only team in the NFL this regular season to have had 3 running backs who have at least minimum 500 rushing yards. No other team in the league has that. None. Zero. So when I think about this now, I think about the game yesterday, although the Niners' defense, as terrific as they were yesterday, but they got a little soft towards the end of the game when they allowed a couple of the touchdowns and so forth. And that was essentially in garbage time. That was after, like, what? San Francisco was already well ahead, comfortably, coasting, so to speak. Right. So the thing that I ended up taking away, especially for Green Bay, was that Aaron Rodgers, yet again, on the Green Bay side of things, here we are, road playoff game, championship game. He doesn't get the job done. And excuse me for the people who want to make excuses, but today is not the day. I'm not hearing it. I'm not hearing it at all. Because ultimately, this is a guy, I've said this to friends off the air, and I've said, listen, when it's all said and done, I'm going to look at Rodgers. He is a first ballot Hall of Famer. There's not a question about that. But he is one of the great underachievers of all time in NFL history in terms of quarterbacks. Because Rodgers, as immensely gifted as he is, he should not only have one Super Bowl ring right now. And here's the kicker. If you want to be completely honest, when was the last time he won on the road in the playoffs? Anybody want to tell me? Minus the Super Bowl, obviously. That doesn't count. Anybody? That was the 2010 NFC title game in Chicago. That was the last one. 2014, Seattle, collapse. 2016 in Atlanta, collapse. I stand corrected. They got annihilated by Matt Ryan in the last game played at the old Georgia Dome. I stand corrected. So, for whatever reason, Rodgers' numbers on the road in the playoffs are abysmal. In his career, as compared to when he's at home, I don't get it. I just don't get it. So, congratulations to the San Francisco 49ers. NFC title. They're off to Miami. Super Bowl 54 in 13 days. And I want to start by announcing now that between now and Super Bowl 54, God permitting, God willing, that I will be talking about the game as we approach it. You know, some storylines and some thoughts. But primarily right now, all I want to do is share my thoughts about yesterday's championship games yesterday. But the Super Bowl is in 13 days in Miami, February 2nd. This year, the game is on Fox. And it's going to be a doozy. It's going to be an amazing game. I know it. I know it and I can feel it. As an NFL fan, I mean, this is the one Super Bowl I can say that I have not been this pumped up for a Super Bowl in quite some time. Outside of the Patriots, of course. But just for pure football fandom, this is one amazing matchup. You're talking about arguably the best passing attack in the league in Kansas City, the best running attack in the league in San Francisco, and two defenses who are capable of making stops. Something's got to give. And don't be shocked. Don't be shocked at all if we end up watching a classic in about 13 days. Coming up next, I'm actually curious about one particular story that I came across today. And it was something that I didn't really think much of, but it actually brought back a particular moment that happened right here on this show. Back in August of last year. I'm going to share with you what exactly that story is coming up on the Shukri Wright Show here on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio.
Lady, I toss and turn at night. I hold my pillow very tight. Wake up to find the covers on the floor. I can't go on since you've been gone. Sometimes I don't know what I'm living for. See, I don't know what it told you about the better life. His better thoughts and how he can treat you better. But none of that will keep you on a night. He'll give you more, but who could have a
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show here on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tusk Reform Radio. About 29 minutes remaining in the program today. As mentioned earlier, I'm going to mention it again, I'll be back on the air on Wednesday afternoon from 12 noon until 3 o'clock, so 3 hours of the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. So there was a story that I came across today that you know, it actually got me thinking, and it brought back a memory that I had on this show. And there was something that I was I talked about this 2 weeks ago, as we spent last week discussing the baseball scandal, which we will continue to talk about, I'm sure, in some capacity on Wednesday, since we have 3 hours to talk about it and so forth. But this was as it pertains to Tom Brady. Now, there has been a lot of discussion, both here locally on my radio show, as well as, I mean, dare I say, even nationally as well, especially across the big networks like Fox Sports, FS1, NBC Sports, all that fun stuff. And there was an article written on NFL.com today that was titled "Tom Brady Open-Minded About Where He Could Play." And it got me thinking, really, I need a little bit more context than that. So, according to the article, it says that he recently had an appearance on Westwood One, which is the NFL, I guess like the national radio carrier of the NFL games, like Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football, the NFL playoffs, the Super Bowl, and as well as the Sunday NFL game of the week and so forth. And Brady has a spot that, with an interview he does with Jim Gray. And according to the article, this is what he said. He said, quote, "I am open-minded about the process, and at the same time, I love playing football and want to continue to play and do a great job," quote, Brady said on a recent Westwood One appearance via NBC Sports Boston. Quote, "I am looking to what is ahead. Whatever the future may bring, I will embrace it with open arms," quote. Now, reading this quote, it actually got me thinking on a variety of reasons. Number one, first reason is that I've talked about this 2 weeks ago, and I mentioned that I'm really surprised, and it is still early in the process. I mean, we're still in season right now. For another couple of weeks, got the Super Bowl left in terms of the last game of the NFL season, of the 2019 NFL season. And the one thing that really got me thinking was I was really wondering and curious as to why on earth has it been that Robert Kraft hasn't done more to actually do more to try to keep Brady. But yet again, I was reflecting, and I remember this past August, a month into the Shukri Wright Show here on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, when I was saying that, especially with the contract negotiations going on at that time, I was saying that, you know, I wouldn't be shocked. I don't think anybody should be shocked if this happens to be Brady's final year in New England. Paraphrasing what I said. And reading between the lines and everything that's happened in the last couple of weeks in terms of Brady, Brady basically, I guess it's been confirmed that that his kids are going to be relocating over the summer, as the family did, in fact, purchase a home in Greenwich, Connecticut, and that's in the New York metropolitan area. That Brady, and this is according to Greg Hill of WEEI, and according to Mr. Hill, he was saying that his suite at Gillette Stadium had been cleaned out, and a bunch of little things that really leads me to think that I don't think it's going to matter at this point what the Patriots offer him. But I really have a feeling now that he's out the door regardless. I'm honestly serious when I say this. When I really think about this, and Brady's saying that him being open-minded about the process doesn't mean that he's going to flat out 100% leave. It doesn't mean that he's going to stay either. But in thinking about you making a decision and you really wanting to see it through, you can't blame the man for wanting to at least be open-minded about the process, given that it is his first time being a free agent in his career, 20 years in the league now. But at the same time, I'm also led to believe and to begin to think that it's very plausible that he goes elsewhere. And it's been said. And of course, the emotional attachment to Brady here in New England is immense. I get all of that, but I also do know, and in reflecting what I said back in August of last year on this same show, that it wouldn't shock me at all whatsoever if he left. And I feel even more stronger about that now that the season has concluded, albeit early, and also not to mention the small little things that has taken place during the season and as well since the season ended. Now, if he decides to end up returning to New England, okay, great, terrific news. But I just have a funny feeling that he's not going to return. I really do think this way. Call into the show at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. And as crazy or as volatile as it may seem, if in fact that does become the reality, and this is now a conversation that I'm personally ready to have, both on, especially on a broadcast forum like this, on the airwaves, as well as even amongst fans and friends. If this is in fact it for Brady here in New England, what's next? What do you do next? And it's funny because, like, although that he really hasn't leaned one way or the other, very at times, and I do think at times he's been a little vague, but he really hasn't given any indication as to what he may be thinking. You know? And an open mind, it can mean that he is open to a variety of contract offers and structures, or even maybe a variety of employers familiar, as in New England, and maybe new. But either or, a lot of his answers have been very down the middle. Very down the middle. But at the same time, I do think that, again, like, looking at the small little things that's taking place, and this is, at this point, this is all speculation at this point. I just want to put that out there. No one knows for certain as to what's happening or what's going on or how this is all going to unfold. But with all of that being said, it's difficult not to take note of all the little things that has gone on and not think that there is a bigger picture that's beginning to slowly form. I really believe that. So that remains to be seen over the next 2 months. As remember, he's got until March 17th. And that's when the league year ends. And March 18th, he's officially a free agent. And the time's ticking. That remains to be seen as to what happens next. I'm curious. I really am. Because if there's one thing that I do know, is that this process can swing either way. And we just don't know what's going to come next. You never know. But as for Brady himself, I want to ask this question to Patriot fans. If in two months, he does in fact leave, or the Patriots say, we don't want you back, thank you for the 20 years and so forth, what do you do? You obviously now have question marks at the quarterback position. No question. But what do you do in terms of who's going to be your starter now? Stidham? Or is a guy via the draft? Or perhaps, maybe, and I mean just maybe, after all, going out and getting a free agent? Because this year, the free agency class for the quarterback position, pretty solid. But all of that remains to be seen. We shall see. Only time will tell. But I'm absolutely curious to see what happens next in terms of this whole process between Brady and the Patriots. Because I do know this. Once the Super Bowl concludes on February 2nd, that's where the fun really will begin. Because I think, and I say this because when I look at everything in terms of the timeline and so forth, right now the league is now focused on the Super Bowl. I mean, the entire football universe is now fixated on Super Bowl 54, 13 days to dissect Kansas City, to dissect San Francisco, all that fun stuff. It's got 13 days. But once the confetti falls in Miami on a new Super Bowl champion, and when the smoke clears, so to speak, that's when the real fun will begin. It'll begin in terms of the speculation, the talk, and I really do think that we really haven't seen the real beginning of the intense coverage of what's going to be for Tom Brady, what's next for his future, his football future. That remains to be seen. But I do know this. It's going to be a fun ride. It is absolutely going to be a lot of fun to watch. Coming up next, final thoughts on the day, plus a big matinee game taking place tonight here in New England. A big game, big marquee game. That's tonight. And plus the final thoughts, plus your phone calls at 855-915-9636. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Touch Free Phone Radio. Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright. You are listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio, here with you for another few more minutes. We have one game tonight in Boston. It's a big one, because King LeBron is coming into town to take on Kemba Walker and the Boston Celtics tonight at the Garden. 7:30 tip-off. Game is exclusively on TNT, so that's going to be a big one. Right now, all accounts are pointing at the Celtics and Lakers both are looking healthy coming into the game, and it's gonna be a good game. It's going to be absolutely good tonight, especially as we look ahead to the matchup between two teams of this historic rivalry. And I look forward to a couple of things tonight. Number one, you know, LeBron has, he's made his mark here in Boston in the past before. So, and especially his first time coming here as a member of the Lakers. So it's always great when LeBron comes to town, especially you hear the BLA chants and so forth. But also, by the way, Anthony Davis has been cleared. He'll be back tonight as well. And for the Celtics, it looks like there's a chance that that Kemba Walker could be back as well tonight. So that's something I'll definitely be on the lookout for as well. I'm excited. And if anything, this is a prime time matchup that has been circled on the calendar since the NBA schedule was released last summer, last August. This was something that was like, oh yeah, this is going to be good. This is going to be good. And right now, like as I mentioned, Kemba Walker may be returning tonight. Jaylen Brown, that's still probable, but they did play Saturday night without him, Jaylen Brown, and with Kemba Walker as well. But Marcus Smart did have a career-high 37 points on Saturday night. So that will be interesting to see if he can duplicate that performance tonight, especially for a team that has struggled lately and has shown up and performed in some pretty uninspiring ways. So that's going to be something that I'm wondering if they'll be able to turn around tonight. But you're talking about a team like the Lakers that has the best record in the NBA on the road at 18-3. So that's something that's also going to be really fascinating to watch, to see can the Celtics bounce back and end their 3-game on losing skid, because this is a team that needs that signature moment of the 2019-2020 season, and they haven't had it yet. And what a night would it be. What a night it would be for the Celtics to finally have that signature moment of the season than against your number one rival in the Lakers, against the best team in the league right now and without question, the best road team in the NBA. So, more than anything else, it's a big game tonight. It's a big game, and you know, definitely for sure, this is something that I'll be watching and so forth. And I'm actually curious to see, can the Celtics get back to playing sound fundamental defense and not allow a team like the Lakers, who are absolutely loaded offensively, obviously with the duo of LeBron and Anthony Davis. That's going to be something that I'm keeping an eye out for as well, but man, it really will be nice to see if Gordon Hayward could actually come out of his offensive slump, because it's been bad recently. So that's going to be something to keep an eye out for, and we will see how it all unfolds tonight, and I'm excited. I'm excited to watch it unfold and so forth. So here we go. Just want to wrap up the show momentarily and give you the programming notes. So again, as mentioned, I'll be back on the air on the show on Wednesday afternoon from 12 noon to 3 p.m. I'll also be on the air Thursday morning from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. Friday afternoon from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturday, my regular slot from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. All right here on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. So stay tuned. So again, I'll say it again. Back on Wednesday afternoon at 12 noon sharp to 3 p.m. Thursday from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. Friday, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. And Saturday, my regular slot for 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. All right here on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, and the TuneIn Radio app. And that's going to be all, ladies and gentlemen, for the Shukri Wright Show. Thank you for all of you who have tuned in on this Martin Luther King Day. Always appreciate it. Thank you all who have tuned in this afternoon, going into the evening hours here in Boston, greater Boston. Always appreciate it as well. So stay tuned. There's more programming coming on after the show. And once I sign off. So thank you all for tuning in. I'll be back here Wednesday afternoon, 12 noon to 3 p.m. on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. Have a wonderful afternoon, everybody, and I'll see you Wednesday.
Later in the evening, I'm the shadow.